It's time for this morning's hymn sing. If you have a favorite hymn, please raise your hand and shout it out. Ron. 723, first and last. Okay, great start. Anyone else? 370?
Yes.
Okay. And which verses?
One and two.
One and two. Victory in Jesus. Who's next? I'm sorry? 57. Five seven. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Which verses? 1 and 7. For that choice, because I haven't heard that one in a long, long time. Yeah. Trudy, did you have your hand up? Oh, okay. Someone else. 247?
Yeah.
And which verses? 247, verses 1 and 3. Okay, I think that does it for this morning. Thank you, Virginia. And thank you, Diane. Thank you, Diane. Gorgeous as always. She and Colleen have talent that I do not have, and I appreciate it so much because I sit down, it's like ding, it's not even, it's no sound at all. It's just noise. And as my mother used to say at my grandmother's, stay away from that piano, stop pounding on it. And that's my talent at the piano. So I so appreciate what you do. I want to welcome everyone this morning to the House of Faith. I'm glad you're here. And I'm just thrilled to see everyone. In fact, a couple of people I'm very happy to see. We have a few announcements this morning. Let me flip my pages here. Today at 12:30, after The Chosen in the Camellia Room, there will be a meeting of trustees. The next Parents' Night Out is March 27th and from 6 to 8:30 p.m., and I encourage everyone to bring your grandchildren, bring your kids, invite the kids from your neighborhood, and they always have a real great time. They do need announce donations are needed for small wrapped Easter candy to go inside the plastic eggs. If I understood from last week, you have enough eggs, but need some. You know, you need a prize inside those eggs. The Easter Lily order is due March 29th, and there is an insert in your bulletin for the to order, put in your purchase, your order for those, but they do need to be in March 29th. And please label your donation Easter Lily so that they can see that. I know we've got book club next month. It's a really good book. And even if you're not coming to book club, I encourage you to look at the listings and read the books. We welcome you at book club. We have great discussions. Sometimes we sort of veer off, but it's related. We just kind of take side paths a little bit. Want to say happy birthday to everyone for this month. Cheryl, Lucy, Becky, Rachel, Stephen, Destiny, Alicia, Jennifer, Jan, and Denise. Happy birthday to one and all. And remember, you get the whole month. Take it.
we already sang happy birthday, especially for Rachel and Becky. I said they are the walking miracles. But for today, Destiny is birthday today. So, and then Alicia. They are there together because Destiny is back from school. Today is the last day of spring break and she's going back. So I'd like us to sing happy birthday for them. Oh, Cheryl, yes, thank you. Cheryl made it, finally, yes. So that's a very meaningful to have them here. So why don't we sing happy birthday to them?
To you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Destiny, Alicia, and Cheryl. Happy birthday to you.
I would ask everyone to sign in on the red pads, pew pads, and ask any visitors to please include their contact information if you want to. The pads are at the end of each pew, and we like to know who was here. There are blue cards for prayer requests that can be put in the offering plate at the back of the church. There should be in the rack in front of you. And I invite everyone to fellowship or to watch The Chosen. After service today, we do have a lot of good conversations over there. And if there are any other announcements other than what was on the screen or anything, please raise your hand, let me know. No more announcements? Great. I've got a different binder this time, so. If you would please stand and join with me in the call to worship. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love.
He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever.
He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
And if you would remain standing for our first hymn, When Morning Gilds the Skies, number 185, verses 1 through 3.
When morning gilds the sky, my heart awakening cry, may Jesus Christ be praised. Alike at work and prayer, to Jesus I repair. May Jesus Christ be praised. The night becomes as day, when from the heart we say, may Jesus Christ be praised. The powers of darkness flee when this sweet chance they hear. May Jesus Christ be praised. Let all the earth around ring joyous with the sound. May Jesus Christ be praised. In heaven's eternal bliss, the lovely strain is this. May Jesus Christ be praised.
And if you would remain standing for the passing of the peace, please pass the peace with your neighbor. What? Yeah. Yeah. When Deb makes it to the front, we will share our joys and concerns. Deb, can I start?
Alrighty. Well, let's welcome our loving families on Zoom first before we begin our times of joys and concern. Good morning to you, Helen. So happy to see you. Good morning to June. And Kenny, good morning. And Alicia and Destiny, you guys look really, really beautiful in that picture. And good morning to you, April and Bill. Good morning to Chris and the one on iPad. The beautiful flowers you see in front are the ones from the memorial service for Joyce yesterday. The family did a wonderful preparation. It was a wonderful service. Diane played for the service, and Lloyd sang. I learned that that Joyce was musically gifted yesterday, and Lloyd also is very musically gifted. He used to be a choir conductor for a Methodist church some time ago. So we appreciate the family's contribution of flowers for us today.
Okay, I'm going to ask for prayers for my sister. She was in the emergency room yesterday evening. She kind of has this ongoing condition. She's okay for a long time, and it's been like 7-8 months since she last had a flare-up, but she had a doozy last night. So I'm going to ask for prayers for her, and I know she will appreciate them. Thank you. Oops.
There we go. I'd like to also ask for prayers for my friend Debbie Sanchez. I ran into her yesterday at the Scottish Festival, and she's having some more trouble and she might need more surgery. So please keep her in prayer.
Well, good morning again. For those of you that don't know me that well, I am a planner. I like to figure things out and get everything taken care of ahead of time. It hasn't been happening with the memorial service and everything because her daughter Amanda is kind of in charge of it. She's got a huge family, and what we're running into now is that Amanda's husband, as I've told you before, he went into the hospital possibly to have his foot removed. He had sepsis, and that's I had it once, and I didn't think I was going to get out of the hospital. So that's been taking up her time, and she's they already had a personal friend that's a funeral director, so he was kind of sketching things out, but he still didn't have anything to go on. So she hadn't talked to Pastor yet. And last Tuesday, when I went to bed, I didn't sleep a wink all night. I was worried about, it's going to be here and nothing's going to be taken care of. So I got up that morning. And I called her and says, this thing's going to blow up in our face if we don't do something. And she says, well, I'm going to, I says, you got to talk to the pastor. So I told her, I thought I gave her the right number, but I didn't. So, but anyway, she managed finally through the church office to get his number, and she managed to talk to him. He just told me now that they are making preparations. So I was so frazzled and everything, I told her family, I says, well, this is Wednesday. I'm going to take Sophia, and we're going to the desert. And there was things I had to do down there, and I had to be there on Saturday because I bought a new bed for the guest room. All these years, I've had it 15 years, and it had a tiny little twin bed in there. And it wasn't in good shape, so I arranged to, I got a really good deal on a queen bed with all the fixings and everything. But the only day they delivered down to the desert was Saturday, so I knew I had to be there. So I said, Sophie and I had a work vacation. We got down there, and there was a lot of things that needed to be done that I just put aside. And also in the springtime, the Homeowners Association, late winter, they always make a tour of the facility and see things that need to be done with people's places. And you can either do them yourself or they'll do them and bill you for them. So we got the patio all cleaned off and the windows taken care of, and something that I won't even go into, it had to do with the where the cable TV and the internet and all that stuff comes in. There was something that was broken, but the company, without me even saying to it, they fixed it anyway, so that went pretty good. So then I was down on my hands and knees on the kitchen tile floor scrubbing that needed that real bad. And then I had taken our carpet, the cleaner, the water, no, I'm losing my thought here, the
shampoo.
So I shampooed the rug in the part of the carpet in the spare bedroom, got that all done. So, they always say, well, we'll give you a call the day before and let you know when we're going to be there approximately. So that usually works out. They never get there on time. So they said they should be down here between 9:30 and 12:30. I think, well, that's great. I got a chance of getting back while it's still daylight. Well, they did real good. They got there at 10:30, and it took them about 45 minutes to put everything together, and it sure made that bedroom look a lot better. Sophie, right away, after they got everything on there, she jumped right on top of that bed, and just, that was her bed. So when I came back, there was something, I couldn't find the remote for the TV back here. Somehow her grandson found it for me, everything seems to be coming together at the right time. And thank you for all your support.
We are very proud of Sophie. don't work too hard, Sophie.
Susan Elmore here. I talked to my daughter a couple of days ago, and I knew that this was going to happen, but my granddaughter and my grandson are both on mission trips. Sarah has gone to New Mexico, and Reagan has gone to Ecuador.
Oh, right.
And it's going through the Christian school down in Redlands. And he went to South Korea right one time with them. But if you just pray for safety for those kids. And Reagan was just getting over pneumonia, so he's pretty much over. He was over that, but he was still tired. So I'm sure they have a lot they want to accomplish while they're there. So if you just pray for the safety of all those kids, because they're doing a good thing and it's really good for them, and I'm just so happy they have this opportunity to do that. And then I had another wonderful thing. My cousins that we grew up with in Long Beach She came out with her husband, and so my two brothers and my two sister-in-laws, we all grew up together in Long Beach also. We were all together yesterday, and it was a really fun time. And we went to our place for lunch at the Chinese place in Cala Mesa. So that was good. So we had a fun time. But it's just remember my grandchildren, please. Thank you.
I would ask for prayers of from everybody for an employee, one of my brother-in-law's employee's son is on his way to Iran.
Oh, wow.
They talk about boots on the ground, and I don't know what his position is in the service, but please pray loud and strong for a wonderful young Jewish man. I don't know his name.
Definitely all the troops that goes with him, we just need to uphold them in our prayers.
Cheryl? I just want to thank everybody for your prayers and encouragement. Everything's going swimmingly. I'm in physical therapy, and it's probably way harder than the surgery was. So, but everything's going really well, so thank you, everybody, for your prayers. I appreciate it a lot. And thanks for my mom for taking care of me, too.
Oh boy.
So we'll keep praying for Amanda's husband. He had two heart attacks in the hospital, but he still may have to have his foot removed.
Steve, share with us your progress on your new move.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to share with you the progress on my move. Good morning. How are y'all doing? Yeah, really do appreciate y'all's prayers and support. And, yeah, it looks like we'll be closing next weekend. So, yeah, thank you for praying for us. And I'm going to try to get over here again. So I'll miss everybody when we go.
Is your big house going to be available for our vacation? He's not saying it. We'll be there.
This is Susan, and I'm just telling you what a joy it is to have my sister here. Sister Jill is here. She's sitting back here in the back. And so we're going to go quilting for a week.
Anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand and unmute.
And I like to recognize David. David's going to have a hip replacement surgery, so please continue to pray for him. And also, welcome to Brian and Jeanine.
If you would join me now in our unison prayer. It's on the screen or in your bulletin. Have mercy on me, O Lord Jesus,
according to your great compassion.
I know my transgressions. Against you I have sinned. Cleanse me of all my sins, that I may be whiter than snow. Create in me a pure heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit. Accept my sacrifices of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. In your precious name, amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. Again, we definitely need to pray for our great nation and for the troop, especially who might be going to Iran. So let us hold them in our prayers, and also our loved ones whom God placed in our life circle. As we see what is going on in this world and in our life, in our communities, we know we need you. We need you more than ever. So, Lord, we come to you and kneel down before you, for we have a lot of need in our life. And we need the very reminder of your presence. You are the risen Christ. You rose from the dead, and you are with us now and forever. So recognizing your presence in our lives, in the midst of troubles, challenges, conflicts, we know that we have found the refuge in you. So, Lord, we come to you at this hour, and we join our hearts in praying to you, in praising you, recognizing all that you have done all along upon our life journey. Through valleys and mountains, O Lord, we have made this far with your help. And with your help, we can continue on. So as we worship together this morning, recognizing your presence in our lives, we ask you to reveal unto us once more. Reveal unto us your great love, your great power, and your great plan that you have for us individually, for our loved ones, for this church, for our communities, for this nation and the world. We trust that you are our sovereign God. You have everything under your control, even though when we sometimes question it, you are our God. You are our Savior. You are our sustainer and protector. So we ask you to show us the way that we may see the path before us and humbly follow your lead. So as we worship you this morning, O Lord, we ask you to do it again, empower us again, encourage us again, strengthen us again, and show us the way again. So as we recognize your presence in our lives, O Lord, we yield to you, to your plan, to your will in our lives. So as one community of faith, we now join our hearts in prayer, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now is the time for our Youth at Heart segment with Deb Davidson.
Today's story is called, Because I Love You. It's written by Max Lucado and illustrated by Mitchell Hines. Long ago, in a land far away and unlike any you've ever seen, there lived a wise man named Shaddai. Shaddai was a large man with a tender heart. He had bright blue eyes and a long, thick beard. When he laughed, which is something he did often, his cheeks would lift until his eyes became half moons of joy. When he sang, which is something else he did often, everything stopped to listen. Tall aspens would bend, squirrels, butterflies, and birds would pause. Even the children would turn when they heard his voice, and well they should, for it was for them he sang. And for the children, Shaddai had built a wonderful village. It was more than any child could dream. The children plunged into the sky-blue pond. They squealed as they soared high on the swings hung from the apple tree branches. They scampered through the meadows and giggled in the orchards. The sun never seemed to set too early, and the cool night sky always brought a quiet peace. And most of all, Shaddai was always near. When Shaddai wasn't in the meadow with the children or in the orchards with the children, he was in the workshop with the children. They loved to be with him while he worked. They loved to smell the sawdust, hear him sing, and watch him carve a chair out of a log or make a table out of a tree. They would gather around him and take turns pressing their tiny hands flat against his great big one. Every night he would gather the children on the grassy meadow and tell them stories. Fascinated, the children would listen as long as Shaddai, or their weary eyes, allowed. The children loved Shaddai, and Shaddai loved the children. He knew each one by name, and he knew everything about them. He knew Lucy's love of birds. He knew Roland's fear of darkness. He knew Daphne was friendly and Spencer was shy. He knew Paladin was curious. When one of them called his name, he dropped whatever he was doing and turned. His giant heart had 100 strings, each held by a different child, and Shaddai loved each one the same. That's why he built the wall. The wall was a high stone fence surrounding the village. Shaddai had built it, rock upon rock. The wall was so tall it stood high above Shaddai. Even if he stretched his arms as high as he could, he still couldn't touch the top of the wall. He spent days building it, and as he built, he did not sing. A deadly forest stood outside the village. As Shaddai built the fence, he would often pause and look into the shadows beyond. Cruel thorns and savage beasts and hidden pits filled the dark forest. It was no place for the children Shaddai loved. Beyond the wall is danger, he would tell the children in solemn tones. You were made for my village, not for the terrible land beyond. Stay with me, it is safe here. But in his heart, he knew it was only a matter of time. The day he placed the final stone on the wall, he returned to his shop, took a long aspen branch and sat down at his bench and carved a staff. Shaddai stood the staff at the corner. I'll be ready, he told himself. Sometime later, a boy ran into Shaddai's workshop. The sandy-haired child with searching eyes and restless energy brought the maker both joy and concern. Shaddai! In one motion, the maker dropped his hammer and turned. What is it, Paladin? The boy spoke in spurts as he gasped for air. The wall. I found a hole. It's a big opening, sir. The boy's hand stretched to show the size. Someone could crawl through it. Shaddai pulled over a stool and sat down. I knew it would be you, Paladin, my child. Tell me, how did you find it? I was walking along the wall searching for holes? Paladin paused, surprised that Shaddai knew. Yes, I was looking for holes. So you could see out into the forest? I was curious, Shaddai. I wanted to know why you won't let us go out there. Why is it so bad? Shaddai motioned for the boy to come to him. When Paladin came near, the Maker cupped the small face in his hands and lifted it so the boy would look directly into his eyes. The urgency of the look caused Paladin's stomach to feel empty. Paladin, listen to me. The lands out there are not for you. They are not for me. A journey into the forest will hurt you. You were not made for those lands. Let your feet carry you to the many places you can go, not to the one place you can't. If you leave here, you will not find the way back. Paladin spoke softly. You will fix the hole then? No, Paladin. I created the hole because I love you so much. But you just said you don't want us to leave. I don't want you to leave. I want you to stay with me. But I did make the opening when I built the wall. But if you don't fix it, said Paladin, the children might leave. I know, Paladin, but I want the children to stay because they want to, not because they have to. Paladin didn't understand. Uncomfortable, he turned to leave. He needed to think about what Shaddai had said. As he entered the sunlight, he looked back into the shop. There sat Shaddai, leaning backward, still watching. Paladin was confused. Part of him wanted the safety of Shaddai's shop, while another part drew him toward the fence. He looked again into the shop. Shaddai was standing now, not moving, but standing. His large hand stretched out to the boy. Paladin turned quickly away, as if he hadn't seen. He walked as fast as he could, aimlessly at first, and then purposely toward the fence. I won't get too near, he said to himself. I'll just peek out. Questions came as quickly as his steps. Why do I want to do what Shaddai doesn't want me to do? Why am I so curious? Is it so wrong to want to see beyond the fence? By now, Paladin was at the hole. Without stopping to think, he lay on his stomach and squirmed through just far enough to stick his head out the other side. I'll just take a quick look, he told himself. What could be wrong with that? Shaddai said he made the hole because he loved us. I wonder what he's keeping from me. As if his knees were moving on their own, Paladin crawled farther. Soon he was through the hole and on the outside of the wall. He rose slowly to his feet. For several moments he didn't move. He wondered if something would come out of the trees to hurt him. Nothing did. He relaxed his shoulders and sighed. It's not so bad, he said aloud. It's nice out here. What was Shaddai so worried about? Paladin began walking into the forest. Twigs snapped beneath his bare feet. Sweet flowers scented the air. I don't see any scary creatures, he thought. The trees were so thick he could barely see the sky. Just a few steps into the woods, he said aloud, to see what it's like. After a dozen more steps, he stopped. He liked the wilderness. Nothing to fear here. For the first time in his young life, he believed that Shaddai was wrong. Just wait until I tell the others. And he turned to go back through the hole. But the hole was gone. He stopped and stared. He only saw a solid wall. Paladin ran to the wall. Was this the spot he had crawled through, or was it somewhere else? He couldn't remember. He ran a dozen steps one way and then a dozen steps the other. Nothing. Suddenly, he heard a strange sound in the woods behind him. He swung around, but he saw nothing. Paladin looked into the forest. Now it no longer seemed friendly. It was dark and threatening, as if it were about to destroy him. Desperately, Paladin searched the wall. He couldn't climb over. He couldn't break through. There was no way home. If you leave here, you will not find the way back, Shaddai's words rang in his mind. The boy's eyes were wide with fear. He sat on the ground and hugged his knees to his chest and began to cry. As Paladin huddled there, lonely and afraid, he remembered something else Shaddai had often said. I love you so much. Does he love me enough to come and find me, wondered the boy. Will he hear me if I call to him? Shaddai, Shaddai, I am so sorry I didn't listen to you. Please come help me. Paladin's plea had been heard by the one who loved him, even before it was spoken. For as the boy left Shaddai's workshop, the Maker had watched him as long as he could. When Paladin was out of sight, Shaddai turned, not to take up his work, but to remove his apron. He hung his tools on the wall, and then he reached into the corner and took the staff, the one he'd carved after he finished the wall. Even before Paladin had reached the wall, Shaddai had left the shop. Even before Paladin had asked for help, Shaddai was on the way to give it. Even before the hole in the wall had closed, Shaddai had opened another. His strong hands pulled away the rocks until he could see into the forest. And with his staff at his side, Shaddai crawled through the hole. He left the village he'd made and set out to search for the child. The end. Our human nature can often cause us to go down the wrong path and even get in deeper than we expected. But neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:39. May we always be grateful for God's forgiveness that's endless. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is Amazing Grace, number 378, verses 1 through 3. This morning's reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 through 32. Jacob wrestles at Peniel. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. So glad to see you. And I pray that as we worship together, we will have a special visit from the Lord through the Holy Spirit, that our hearts will be filled with the joy of salvation once more. A middle-aged man went in for a routine physical, feeling perfectly confident about his health. The nurse began with basics. How much do you weigh? Oh, about 185 pounds, he said casually. She put him on the scale. 255, she announced. He frowned. That scale must be broken. She ignored him. And your height? 6 feet, he replied quickly. She measured him. 5'8". Now he was starting to look uneasy. Finally, she checked his blood pressure. Her eyebrows shot up. Wow, that's very high. High, he snapped. Of course it's high. He threw up his hands and said, when I walk in here, I was tall and skinny, and in 5 minutes, you've turned me into a short, overweight man. Who was wrong? The nurse or the man? Of course the man was. He claimed to be tall and skinny, but claiming did not make him so. There is someone in the Bible like the man. Who was he? It was Jacob. He pretended to be someone he was not through deception, which shaped the course of his life. After stealing the blessing of the firstborn from his brother, he ran from home. The threat of his brother did not evaporate. As he returned home, he was so fear-stricken because he had to face the consequences of his lies. Jacob's wrestling with the messenger of God the night before he met his brother reveals a profound truth about the fundamental battle everyone faces, an inner struggle with guilt and shame. The only breakthrough from this is found in God. The name Jacob means to follow or to hold the heel. Jacob got his name simply because he was born grasping the heel of his twin brother, Esau. The fate of being a younger brother was set at his birth, though Jacob went against it. There is more to the name. Jacob also means supplanter, or someone who deceives. A supplanter intentionally take someone else's place. As the second son, he did not have the birthright, but Jacob eventually took it through deception. Interestingly, these meanings of Jacob's name foreshadowed how his life would unfold. So let's briefly review his life. Esau was a hunter, but Jacob was a homebody, likely skilled in cooking, which was uncommon in ancient society. Why this unusual skill? There might have been a reason, suggesting that Jacob would do anything to gain an advantage over someone or something. One day, Jacob made a lentil stew when Esau returned from hunting, starving. Given Jacob's tendency to be a supplanter, cooking the stew was his calculated move to buy the birthright from Esau. Years later, when Isaac was ready to bless Esau as the firstborn, Jacob went to Isaac in disguise as Esau and received the blessing. The conversation between Isaac and Esau afterwards revealed Jacob's personality linked to his name. Isaac said to Esau, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't he rightfully named Jacob? This is the second time he has taken advantage of me." Consequently, Jacob ran away from home to save his life and went to live with his uncle Laban. There Jacob reaped what he sowed. Laban deceived Jacob by giving him Leah instead of Rachel, whom Jacob loved. Jacob had to work an extra 7 years to pay a bride price for Rachel. All the drama started with Laban's deceit and Jacob's unwanted marriage to Leah. Rachel had no children, while Leah gave birth to 6 sons. Jealousy over love and motherhood caused 2 sisters' maidservants to become part of the marriage. Genesis 29 and 30 are packed with dramas that rival modern soap operas. In the end, Jacob unintentionally married 4 wives, fathered 11 sons up to that point, and later he had one more, so altogether 12, and had 1 daughter. Mormons see Joseph Smith as their founder, but Jacob might be a stronger candidate. Jacob worked for Laban for 20 years, during which Laban changed Jacob's wages 10 times, but Laban's son believed Jacob stole everything from Laban. Tired of Laban's treatment, Jacob was returning home and quickly learned that his brother Esau was coming to confront and kill him with 400 men. 20 years had passed, but Esau's old wound had not healed, and Jacob knew it full well. The night before their meeting, Jacob stayed alone behind and wrestled with God's messenger. His life was at stake, and he could not let go of the angel wrestling with him until dawn. Then the angel said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and humans and have overcome." These words carry a very profound message and prophecy. Israel means to fight, struggle will prevail. El means God, as we know. So together, Israel means one who struggled with God. Israel later became the name of the nation. And in my opinion, Israel is a prophecy about the nation's destiny. Israel as a nation has wrestled with God and has undergone rises and falls because of it. Israel also indicates that the nation in the end will prevail, or that God will allow the nation to prevail, as seen in Jacob's wrestle. Now let us focus on the part of the angel's message to Jacob. You have struggled with God and humans. It was not only the night before Jacob's encounter with his brother, but his entire life that Jacob struggled with God and humans, all because of his sinful nature. The Bible additionally notes that when the twin boys were in their mother Rebekah's womb, they jostled. This suggests that Jacob's wrestling with God and humans began even before he was born. He had an inherent sinful nature that caused him to be deceived, and suffer the consequences of deception. The flip side of Jacob's fighting against God and humans is Jacob's fighting against himself because of his sinful nature and his sins. In other words, all his life, Jacob had struggled with his past guilt and shame deep inside. All his life, he fought this lonely fight, spiritual fight. Think about it. This deep inside, the struggle, the battle that is going on out of the shame and guilt. Do we not have the same struggle? We try to escape from our past sins and mistakes just as Jacob did. But we are never truly free from the wrongs we committed until we settle our past before God. We all need to come to God and ask for forgiveness. In His grace, God allows us to win and gives us a new name along with a new life. So in that struggle, in that wrestle of Jacob, there is a gospel message. Evangelical Press News Service carried the following article. How many of you remember the Vietnam-era Pulitzer Prize-winning photo of 9-year-old Phan Thi Kim Pho, naked and horribly burned, running from a napalm attack? You remember that picture? Yeah, many of you do. Like many Americans, Reverend John Plummer, minister of a Bethany United Methodist Church in Purcellville, Virginia, was moved by that picture as well. In fact, the picture haunted him. For Plummer, that picture had special significance. In 1972, he was responsible for setting up the airstrike on the village of Trang Bang, a strike approved after he was twice assured there was no civilians in that area. Plummer said that even though he knew he had done everything possible to make sure the area was clear of civilians, he experienced new pain each time he saw the picture. He wanted to tell Kim Falk how sorry he was. After becoming a Christian in 1990, Plummer felt called to the ministry and attended a seminary. In June 1996, he learned that Kim Pho was still alive and living in Toronto. The next month, he attended a military reunion and met someone who knew both Kim Pho and the photographer. Plummer learned that on that fateful day in 1972, Kim Pho and her family were hiding in a pagoda in Trang Bang when a bomb hit the building. Kim Pho and others ran into the street where they were hit by napalm being dropped from another plane. She tore up her burning clothes as she fled. Two of her cousins were killed. The photographer and other journalists poured water from canteens on her burns. She collapsed moments after that famous photo and was rushed by car to a hospital. The girl spent 14 months in hospitals and was operated on by a San Francisco plastic surgeon. Plummer learned that the Kim Pho was speaking at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. He went and heard Kim Pho say that if she ever met the pilot of that plane, she would tell him she forgives him and that they cannot change the past. but she hoped they could work together in the future. Paloma was able to get words to Kim Far, and the man she wanted to meet was there. She saw my grief, my pain, my sorrow, Paloma wrote in an article in the Virginia Advocate. She held out her arms to me and embraced me as I could. All I could say was, "I am sorry, I am sorry, I am sorry," over and over again. At the same time, she was saying, "It's all right, it's all right. I forgive, I forgive." Paloma learned that although she was raised a Buddhist, Kim Pho became a Christian in 1982. The pastor of the Methodist had a similar struggle that Jacob had struggled with, that all of us struggle with, from our past and shame. And this is how we receive forgiveness from the Lord. We acknowledge our sins and ask for forgiveness. All our struggle, whatever the kind of struggle that we have, boil down to the very issue of sin and who has the power to resolve it. Do we wrestle with guilt and shame? If so, let us bring them to Jesus. We do not have the right or deserve the blessing of forgiveness, but when we honestly ask for it, as Jacob wrestled, Jesus, in his mercy, forgives us. Amen.
Now's the time for the presentations of our tithes and offerings. You can put your envelope in the plate in the back in the narthex, or deliver it to the office either in person or by mail. Thank you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Here we stand, Lord Jesus, before your presence, acknowledging how great you have been, your grace has been for us, and all the blessings that you have given unto us, even when we didn't deserve. So, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and give you this small token of our thankfulness unto you, O Lord. We ask you to receive it, bless it, that it may be used to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is Jesus Paid It All. It's an insert in your bulletin, and it will be showing on the screen, verses 1 through 3.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone. And chains the leper's bark and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid all, Lord, to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good I have, whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garment white in the blood of Calvary's lamb. Jesus paid all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we celebrate the Lenten season once more, we remember your great act on that cross to offer us the forgiveness of our sins and salvation. So as we remember your cross, Lord, give us the willing heart to come before you and repent our sins, with which we have struggled all along, and have confidence that you gladly offer forgiveness, that we may be liberated from the painful memories of the sinful past. So, Lord, be gracious and give us this grace of forgiveness through your cross. And knowing that our sins are forgiven in that cross, send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Go now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong and true. Lord, he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and sure you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Go now in peace, in faith, and in love.